spit, kneel, work the into clay.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
That come true life so untasted, too many tears for the damage done. Faith's enemy stood smiling while I believed his lies, but now in my Redeemer's hands, hope is alive like a spring. In my Redeemer's hands, I see his love heal everything. For by the great mercy and grace of my Lord, what had been wounded is being restored. There's a garden in bloom where there once was just sand. There is life in my Redeemer's hands. Flooding my past is chasing down shadows, making them flee. Joy dances like Lazarus, living again so deep inside of me. Can't wait for each tomorrow and the life that's beyond the sorrow. Now in my Redeemer's hand, hope is a love like the spring. Here in my Redeemer's hands, I see his love heal everything. For by the great mercy and grace of my Lord, what had been wounded is being restored. There's a garden in bloom where there once was just sand. There is life.
And if you're wondering what's going on over here at WCNO, well, you're going to keep wondering because I have a room full of guys, and well, Father only knows where all this is going to go. But I'll tell you what, I know this: God's given us a voice for Him right here in the state of Florida, and by the grace of God, we intend to, well, if necessary, shake the trees and rake the leaves. Sometimes you gotta, you know, you've just gotta say Jesus is Lord, and the only answer is gonna be for people to find Jesus. There is no other answer. There's no other answer. And I have in the room with me Keith.
Good morning. Good morning.
Is it morning? It is still morning.
It is morning.
It is still morning.
Let me check.
And for those of you that are wanting to make
it's been crazy.
The Door Dashers, you know, that want to come in with big bucks. Just want to let you know there's some fresh fruit out on the counter. But there's also, what else is out there, Charles?
There's some donuts.
Oh, there's some donuts out there on the front counter. Not Charles wouldn't eat them. Yeah, I know he wouldn't. He's
I have a
healthy
story about that.
He's a healthy eater. I'm gonna pick on Charles in a minute. So Keith, great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Jonathan. Thank you.
You don't feel like you're a visitor, do you?
No,
and neither does Charles, and none of you. I mean, you're all part of the
Three Amigos over.
Yes.
Part of the team around here. And so Jim is over there on the other side of a microphone. I'm going to try to move around here so I can find Jim. Hey, Jim.
I'm here.
Well, we've got the redeemed bank robber. He's here. Hallelujah. He served his time.
Praise God.
He's going to preach the gospel to everybody, you know, so he's not shy. And Keith, what's happening on the street? Lost people still out there?
Lost people still out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, real fast. You know, I went to a men's retreat 2 weeks ago by Ignite Your Faith. You see, I got props here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gospel.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to a men's retreat last weekend.
Okay, cool.
Really, really great retreat. And, you know, they said something that I never realized. If everybody, what's the word that I'm looking for? If you tell somebody about Jesus, and then that person tells somebody about Jesus, exponentially is the word that I'm looking for. So if each person tells one person about Jesus exponentially, in 5 years, the world could be saved.
Oh, wow.
In five years,
the world could be saved.
Mm-hmm. So we've got to get at it.
By everybody telling each somebody new about Jesus.
That's awesome.
Is that amazing?
That's awesome.
It's like doubling
awesome.
A penny. What would you rather
right,
have?
Right,
yep.
Right,
yep.
Right,
right,
right.
Yep. All right. So, James, what's happening?
Oh, I'm telling you, I just got in here with this conversation with you guys. We got a lot happening here locally. I'm shocked.
I'm going to break into that a little bit. I'm going to break into the Faith Initiative in the state of Florida and bring that up because I have some stuff here that is happening in Tallahassee that needs to be happening in Martin County, Palm
Absolutely.
Beach County, Okeechobee
Absolutely.
County, Indian River County. We need a faith initiative in every county
Absolutely.
Across the state
yep.
of Florida because what we have is we live in a beautiful place,
and
a great
place.
And
that's a shout-out to Governor DeSantis.
Shout-out.
Really.
This is actually setting a pace across the nation. Mm-hmm. Many states are grabbing a hold of this, and I'll read a little bit from that in a little bit. But,
well, you know, just to go a little bit deeper.
Oh, this is John Nelson.
Hi, guys.
Hello, John Nelson.
I didn't drink caffeine because what you do, yeah. I don't need it. We're about to get fired up.
We're people. About to get fired up here. John Nelson, welcome.
Donald Trump last week announced that if you're a politician and you're caught taking money, you're going to prison.
Good.
I'm going to guarantee you that if we started audit, if DeSantis did the same thing in this state at county level,
yep.
and seeing who in the planning commissions is getting money to change these zoning rules,
yep.
we need that now. And I hope the Martin County Commission's listening because we want to see the bank records.
Yep. Show us the money.
We want to see what you guys have been given and why you're trying to steal from us.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's time to do that. And, you know, there's going to be a meeting at the Martin County building. I have been summoned as a pastor in the city, and I'm to come before the board.
Awesome.
And, there's a magistrate that's going to be looking at our case, and the code enforcement in Martin County is saying that we can only build one residential facility on our property that we spent a couple years getting institutional land use for. We have permits that are active on this property. And so I pray that we have people that'll fast with us leading into that meeting.
Absolutely.
Esther called for a 3-day fast. I believe we need to see either transformation or removal of people that are hindering and fighting against the work of God. We live in a beautiful place. There's a lot of godly mm-hmm. people here. And all we have to do for our region to go in the wrong direction is stay silent at a time like
this.
You
know, it's not even the church under attack in places that are getting populated. Casey, who's a friend of mine who started SOS in Salerno, they exposed all kinds of stuff going on down there that was illegal. And then it got, because the media is owned by who we know,
yep.
it got smashed. So if God's on the move.
Yeah, I have people telling me that we don't need church in government. We don't need government in church.
That's right.
The government needs God, and we need to bring it there.
The Constitution was wrote that we could remove an unruly government, and it's time. Well, and amen. If I come up missing because I have these conversations with my kids, they're like, "Dad, you're awful vocal."
Yeah.
But that's what they do.
That is what they do.
If they got to squash somebody, they have no problem reaching out. And I don't want to point out a...
We're not going to do that.
We can't go there.
We're not going to go there. Charles, welcome. Charles didn't realize he's coming into a beehive.
I got prompted this morning to come in by the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what was coming in.
You weren't sure what was going to happen over here, were you?
Not quite.
Now, Charles, listen, I'm not one to dig in old jokes, but you told one the other day that I thought was really great, something about arms and legs. What was that about?
It was... Okay, I knew you were going to put me on the spot.
Hang on a second. He knows it.
How do you know that the devil doesn't have arms or feet?
Okay, come on, you guys. I've got the anointed crew here. Help me out. How do you know that the devil doesn't have arms or feet?
Okay.
Okay. Here it comes.
The Bible says he has been disarmed and defeated.
Disarmed and defeated. I like that a lot.
We got to get the phone number.
Okay, give it out. Yeah. We are.
221-1100. 221-1100. I just want to throw this out real quick. I know I'm running my mouth. I'm listening to a church locally on Sunday, and I shared this out in the lobby. Needed $198,000 to finish a building project. And this is what the pastor said. I can raise that today. And it's like, people, we need this radio station. Mm-hmm. And if you're giving to, not saying not to give to your church, but this reaches 7 million people. That's 7 million souls. So if you've never given to a church and your wife wants a $100,000 kitchen, which I build, how much are you giving? And I have to look at myself, right?
Yeah.
How much am I trusting God? Like I was talking to Sherry about a pledge that I did for our building company, which is very slow right now.
Yeah.
And I matched for something that you guys needed on Friday. And I should not say that because my blessing is gone. But God's never been, he can't be outgiven. And there's so many people that don't believe that.
Amen. Well, they haven't tested. They haven't tested. Actually, Malachi says,
try me and see. There's so much money here. There's no reason that our budget for this place ain't matched the first week.
Did you give the number out?
221-1100.
221-1100. That's a 772 area code. And we are going to obviously take your calls. Phone lines are open right now, even though, you know, we're all together in this room. and we're going to just be led by the Holy Spirit in that. In fact, we are going to go to prayer because we have a pastor that called in that asked us to pray. So one of you are going to lead out in prayer for that. But just to kind of let you know where we are, and I'm looking at paperwork because people have called in. This pastor we're going to be praying for called in a $100 donation. Beautiful. So that's a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Chaco. And we have Angie, who has gone online and made a $20 donation. Thank you, Angie. And we have a business in West Palm Beach, All IT, who has made a $200 donation.
Beautiful.
So gone online, made that donation. So we have... that was by check. All IT gave by check. So we're going to be adding those in as we move along through the morning. We're right now at $109,111, getting close to $110,000, and we're looking forward to breaking over that and pushing on. And
so we need $90,000 in 45 minutes, people. Well, $90,000.
$90,000, that's
45
fine.
Minutes.
Yeah,
listening in Sewell's Point, this is John Nelson.
Write a check.
Write a check.
All right, so Chaco is saying he has pain in his shoulder and neck and left arm from previous car accident. Now, you have a testimony about some healing work of God in your life don't you?
I do.
You want to share that?
Right now, I am 8 weeks post prostate removal surgery for prostate cancer. I don't have it. I haven't had any pain. I haven't had any setbacks other than the normal reconstruction of my body during its bodily functions. And I actually went back to the gym for the first time in 8 weeks.
You're back?
Yeah.
Your wife let you go?
She let me go with all kinds of stipulations.
Put a video camera on.
Even though my strength may still be close to what it was. It sounded like a threat, but she didn't pose it as a threat that I better not lift what I'm capable of lifting. So
you're on reduced activity.
Yeah, some kind of way she knows if I'm doing more than what I'm supposed to do.
So. Ladies know that, don't they?
But yeah, I was prompted to come in this morning. Like I said, I don't know why, but here I am.
Praise God.
And I
Praise
brought God. In. I brought in a fruit platter.
Nice.
Awesome. That's healthy.
When I came in, I saw the donuts there. I have a story about that. Back some years ago, I used to be a Martin County deputy working in corrections.
Okay.
And every now and then, I was tasked to bring in donuts and coffee for the shift because we worked midnight to 8.
Mm.
And we lived on donuts and coffee. That sugar rush and that caffeine kept us going. So I don't know if you guys remember Mrs. Murphy's.
Oh, sure. Donuts. Yeah.
So I went in there to get the donuts for the crew. And there were about 9 or 10 deputies' cars there.
Uh-huh.
And I had my radio, and I had it tuned to the main channel to listen to all the traffic. And all of a sudden, I hear, wow, Mrs. Murphy's must be the safest place in the county tonight. It was Sheriff James Holt.
Woo! Well, I knew Sheriff
You
Holt.
Never seen guys move so fast. Ooh. To get. There were 9 or 10 deputies' cars that were gone in like 30 seconds. I said, yeah, I guess I better get out of here too. So I kind of have a thing about bringing donuts in. So it traumatized me.
Memories. All right, which one of you guys are going to pray over Chaco? Somebody's going to lift Chaco up in
prayer. I'll lift him up.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
That's a prayer request right there. Let's lift that up.
See my glasses here.
Phone number 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And let me just tell you, it's a blessing to be here at WCNO because we can bring the brothers in right through the front door.
Yes, amen.
And we don't have a corporate office saying, don't you say that. Don't bring a John Nelson in. He might talk about living in Martin County outside next to the container in the backyard, you know, the trash container.
The dumpster.
The dumpster. Yeah, that's
there.
It. I know. You might talk about that. But we don't have anybody telling us that we can't do that. So we have freedom to lift up Jesus.
Thank
and
God.
We're free to tell the stories and tell the truth and address things as they are. So, and it's great to be able to have a pastor that this pastor is from India.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pharmacist in his career. And he goes back to India as a pastor and does evangelistic work. And so he's a good brother. Good brother. Nice. He's on our station. He has a program here.
Oh, okay. That's this gentleman here?
Chaco.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Father, I just want to lift up one of the members of the family here, mm-hmm. Father. Mm-hmm. Is suffering from pain in his shoulder and neck and his left arm. And this is from a previous accident. Yeah. Father God, we just lift up Pastor Chaco to you, mm-hmm. Father. Mm-hmm. You know his needs. You know the pain.
Name.
You know that he's a servant of your kingdom.
Thank you.
Father, I just ask that you take away this pain, Lord, and lift him up, enable him to do what he needs to do so that he can rise up and carry forth your word, Father God, in your presence as he travels back and forth to India and reaches out to help other people, Father God. You know the need, Lord, and we just lift Pastor Chaco up to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So as we start today, and we've already yakked a little bit about this, but why Christian radio? Why does it matter? John, why do you come in here?
You know, it saved my life. Even when I was out there doing the wrong thing in Broward, and that's where a lot of my criminal activity was, and I'm not shy. I mean, you don't get the 38 arrests by doing the right thing. You don't live behind a dumpster because you want
to. You know, you're sitting next to a...
Yeah.
Retired officer.
Probably there when I'm hey, but you know what's crazy? County, today I work with them.
Mm,
and we go
right,
into the jails. And they'll call and say, we got a situation here. Can you maybe get them some help? You know, people don't realize you can go from ashes back to glory.
That's right.
And but it's winning. You know, addiction is winning. Now, thank God the administration, on a positive note, overdose is down over 35% off fentanyl because they took it off the streets. Now, cocaine's coming back up. But there's always going to be an addiction. Cavemen had wine, right? Mm. The Old Testament, they were drunk on wine. I mean, people are always going to find it, but you can find freedom from addiction if you make the choice to get out and get busy. And, you know, and I'm not perfect in sobriety. I came in 1988, and I'm not sober that many years. I mean, thank God I got some time behind me, but time don't matter. What am I doing with today? Who am I helping today? And we were talking about that in the parking lot. You know, some people come to me and they're like, you're a minister, but you don't go into a church. I'm in church every minute I'm awake. Mm-hmm. So does that, am I going to be judged for that? No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be judged for. I know I won't be judged for being a robber. I won't be judged because I'm out there stealing my kids' diaper money, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody out there struggling, there's hope.
There's hope.
I used to listen to Way FM in Fort Lauderdale when I went to Calvary Chapel, Pastor Bob and their worship team, and I would listen to that stuff while I was getting high.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was the way out.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to stop.
Yeah.
And if anybody's out there struggling right now.
Right now.
I advertise on this radio station, and it's not just me, it's we. And I'm trying to get someone else that's involved in this radio station, and I won't name it, to come on our board. Dennis Fano was just here. He's a lawyer. He's on our board
now. I like him.
Yeah. He's got a lot to offer. God, if you're in trouble, we can help.
Yeah.
But you got to ask.
Yeah.
See, and I went out 2 years after Jenny died being trafficked on heroin, and people know my story. And I got a bunch of people in here. I don't want to take up the whole time.
But a lot of people don't know your story.
In 2 years, I was 9 years sober when Jenny died. She was my wife. She was 38 years old. She got hooked on pills, and I didn't know much about that because I was into cocaine. And people started coming to me. And I'm a ministry in a nonprofit for 14 years. At that point, it was 7 years in drug and alcohol and not trafficking at that point. And the worse it got, at one point I had to have her leave the house and give her son back to the dad, and who was he was a junkie. Mm. I had no choice because I didn't have parental rights. Lo and behold, she goes ahead. I knew it. If anyone's listening right now, I want you to hear this. She left on a Sunday. I had her go to a halfway house. I knew that I would get a phone call that she died. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I just knew it because she wasn't going to stop. And you know what? 16 months later, after open heart surgery, my surgeons that saved my life saved her life. Mm. 10 months later, she has a stroke and dosed by cocaine. She's being pimped on Bridge Road by guys she went to high school with. And I'm in the business.
Yeah.
It can happen. If the parents are listening right now, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And I've gone to politicians that won't get us funding, and they had young kids, and this is going back a few years. And I look at them because they got this smug people around them because they're white collar, and I'm just this blue collar kid coming in telling them about drug addiction. And I said, finally, I got fed up with it, and I looked at them. And I said, which one of your kids am I going to bury? And you want to see a room of politicians with his white crew assistants never broke a nail in their life look at me like I'm the devil? And I was dead serious.
Yeah, because you've seen it.
I'm still watching it.
Seen it.
I watched it. But there, God saved my life.
Amen.
But I had to be willing to be saved.
Amen.
I had to be willing to do the work that it took to stay in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we do a lot with Jenny's memory. We've helped 50 women since. And I should, don't get a pat on the back, because if we didn't have the administration that brought the trafficking money back out, because the other side took all the trafficking money away the day they got into office, he put it back out there. And now he's going after the drug addict, the drug vendors, you know, China,
right.
Fentanyl, South America, wherever. Okay, we take 40% of fentanyl off the streets and all of a sudden 35% less people dying every day from fentanyl. That's a fact. But it doesn't make the media.
Yeah. No.
So, I mean, there's hope. I am so blessed. I'm going
Praise
to see
God.
My great niece on Saturday in Atlanta, 2 weeks. I watched a great friend of mine, which we raised, get married in the Keys this weekend.
Mm.
And I'm standing there in awe that I'm allowed to be a part of that. See, and if you're struggling out there and you don't think that you can be redeemed, you can be redeemed. You
can be redeemed.
Boy, that's a fact.
What about you, Jim?
Listen, man, I'm just on fire.
Pull the mic over to you. We want to hear you.
22 years of running with the devil.
Pull the mic.
Okay, 22 years of running with the devil, and if you think God doesn't have a use for you at your age, whatever that might be, I was in my 40s when I finally returned to Jesus, and you know, I was riding in the back of a bus on my way to prison. This is on Interstate 10 going out west. I was headed out into the panhandle. And we passed a sign on Interstate 10 that was warning people about the road work, and it said, "Please excuse this temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement." And I just took that and just, that was my motto. I'm going through temporary inconvenience for the permanent improvement that Jesus is going to add to my life. And I would be in prison, and these guards would, I'm one of the older guys there. I'm one of the pops. They call you pops when you reach a certain age in prison. Mm-hmm. But they're going, "Why are you always smiling?" And I go, "I'm right where I need to be. And when it's time for me to leave, there's not a one of you that can stop me from going out that gate." I said, "I know that for a fact, and it's going to happen. And if you're still alive, you'll get to see it happen." Mm. And that's how it went. I mean, and when it reached that point for me to leave, my family didn't want me around. I'd stolen from them and just, you know, I was a reprobate. Sure. Yeah. I was a drug addict and a reprobate and just done. I wasn't there for my son. I wasn't there for anybody. I was just there for my drugs. And when I got out, I realized I can't keep going. So I'd actually contacted Dunklin. I sent a letter to Dunklin about going there, and they never responded. And I don't know why. Because that's what Dunklin does.
Sure.
But Calvary Chapel that John was talking about with Pastor Bob responded. And they said, "Yes, you get on the bus and don't you get off until you get to Pompano. We'll come pick you up." And then that's where it all started. And they showed me that even at my age, you know, God's got something for you to do. Here, I'm 75 now. This has been going on for over 30 years.
Praise God.
You know, that God's been using me to do. And I don't know what he's got for me to do. I just do it, you know. And I know, let me tell you, I know for a fact that Jesus Christ and God are just as real as all of us sitting right here. Yeah. I've had enough things happen to me in my 30-something years of walking with the Lord that I can tell there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ is just as real as all us sitting here.
Amen.
So if you think it's a facade, and if you think it's not real and it's a hoax and it's a story, you're the loser. And when it comes time to cry out, if you don't cry out for Jesus, you're going to be on the losing end. And my understanding is it's pretty hot in hell, and I don't want to find out. That's enough reason. Because I hate hot life.
Can't stand the heat here sometimes.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It'll be 85 today.
So, Charles, I don't know your story. What, you had a perfect background, right?
No, not even close. Well, I grew up as a PK, a policeman's kid.
A PK, and, that's a different kind of a PK than I was thinking about. Yeah.
And, you know, I had my rebellious side. You know, I went off to college and I had a little bit of rebellion. But I had that foundation.
Yeah.
My grandparents were charter members of my church, Port Salerno Church of God.
That's
so
amazing.
I've had that foundation. It was established in 1931.
Wow.
And still going strong now. I'm
native
there now. And you know, I went off to kind of seek my fortune, so to speak. And I'm not shy. I'm on my third marriage right now. My first two marriages ended in divorce, of course, and my second marriage, I almost did something tragic. My ex-wife was cheating on me, and she was bringing the man to the house. And, you know, it still kind of affects me now, even though it's been since 2006. But I've gotten to the point where I can tell this story without breaking down because I know where God has brought me from. We were going through a divorce, and I was a truck driver at the time going to New York. And I was going on probably 6 hours of sleep in about 3 days because it was really affecting me. And she called me and really had the audacity to ask me, can I bring this man to the house to watch movies? And that was kind of the match that lit the fuse, because I was a perfect storm ready to explode. And I just told her, I'll see you when I get home, because I hadn't left yet. I'll see you when I get home. So I was on my way home. It was a Friday, October 6th, 2006. Never forget. But I couldn't go straight home. As a truck driver, you have routes, and you bid on your routes according to seniority. It was my turn to bid on my route, and I couldn't leave. Otherwise, if I left and didn't make my bid, I would just get left over with a route that just nobody wanted. But during that time, I kept hearing, call your father. Call your dad. I was 44 years old. Call your dad. And my head was literally in a fog. It looked like I was walking around in a fog. So before I went to bid on my route, I went to the truck and I called my dad. Now, my dad at this time had been 11 years past having a stroke. So he was on a walker. He wasn't always that steady. He didn't know my phone number. He didn't answer numbers that he didn't recognize. And he never answered the phone as he was on his walker. He answered that night. And he stopped. And I said, hey, Dad. He said, hey, Charles, hold on. Let me get to my chair. So he went and he sat down. And he said, hey, son. And I didn't say anything. He said, Charles. And I just started crying. I said, Dad, you need to talk to me. I told him what she was doing. I said, I'm on the verge of doing something tragic, because I was in pain. She was the source of the pain. So what do you try to do? You try to get rid of the source of the pain. And he started talking and praying and talking and praying. And I'm sitting there in my truck, and I got my hands on the steering wheel, and it took him 45 minutes to calm me down, because I was there. And I tell people, if it wasn't for my dad, I would be sitting on death row in New Jersey right now. Because I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, I was going home to kill this woman. Yeah. And he finally calmed me down. And this funny thing about my mom, mothers, they're mother bears. She wasn't home. Well, after I calmed down, Dad gave the phone to her. She came in, and I told her, and she got up in an uproar. She's ready. And I'm like,
she's ready to go.
I'm like, yeah. Mom, Mary Jones. She said,
you had to calm her down.
She said, yes, son. I said, I can't stay in the house with that woman tonight. Something tragic will happen. But her thing was, she thought I was going to be homeless. Well, I wouldn't have been. I could have gone back to my truck, but I also had vouchers from Red Roof Inn that I could go and stay. So I wasn't going to be homeless. So I think I'll never forget that day, October 6, 2006. That's when my dad stopped me from going to prison. I kept hearing, call your father. That was a Friday. When I got back to work on Monday, I'm back in my truck in to hook up to the trailer, and I'm like, what's wrong with my steering wheel? Where my hands were on the steering wheel, I had bent the steering wheel.
Wow. God is good.
She was 5'5", 140 pounds.
God is good.
I'm 6'7", way over 140 pounds. Can you imagine what I would have done to her?
God had his hand on your life.
Yeah. Thank God for your father.
Yes.
Thank God you were listening.
Thank God. Yeah. Because I've had God talk to me like had God tell me things like that, you know, and you hear it,
yeah.
And you can't see where it's coming from, but yeah. Like you with the chains.
Yeah. I want to hear the chains. I want to hear the chains.
And I know I've been there. Here's what I want to say. If you're listening, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is absolutely real. Pinch yourself and say, thank you, Jesus.
And he wants you.
And he wants you.
And it was all that noise going on in my head.
Yeah, which was the devil.
And, of course, God wasn't shouting. I just kept hearing softly, call your father.
Call your father. God.
Yeah. We need to give out the phone number.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep. Jimmy?
Yes, 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. That's an amazing testimony.
Thank you for sharing that.
It's
and you can't see Charles, but Charles is quite big.
Yes,
Charles. I always say I'm 6'7".
Right.
And I'm a pound.
You're not oversized. You're just a big guy.
I'm actually.
And you're a sheriff. I mean, you're in shape. I can tell you're in shape.
I'm 340 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, but you're what, 6?
I'm 6'7".
All right. So you hold three. You hold that well.
Yeah.
He's not overweight at all.
No.
Thanks, Charles, for sharing.
That's awesome.
Sharing. Keith Masters, hello. You've been kind of quiet. We've got to hear what happened in a truck when chains start breaking.
He didn't shave, so you know he's tired.
He's been up for three days. Busy.
I haven't shaved. I know. It's been crazy. But, you know, with all of these testimonies that are going on around me and out on the air, people have to understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that's what he delivers us from. He takes us out of our sins, and you have to understand that. And I met somebody out on the street, and the question was, I don't know if God could love me, on who I am. And they have to understand that God created them, and they're a child of God, of who they are. So they have to understand that. In August, I lost my brother to alcohol, and Jesus delivered me from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't an everyday drinker, but I was a weekend warrior, and I would have to wonder, what did I do the night before? And that's how bad it was. And when I was driving my business truck out of the state of Florida, going north back up to Connecticut, because we had to move, we sold the business. And I had chains literally fall off my body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clanking like I could hear just hitting the floor. I mean, I wish I had them so that you could understand how loud they were. And they were hitting the floor, and it was like a battleship. If you're ever dropping chains from an anchor, right, being released from the ship, and that just goes, you know, and it just in with the metal. And that's what happened to me in my arms. I didn't squish the steering wheels like Charles did, but my arms lifted up off the steering wheel because my hands were on it. And it was just, I was just released. Mm. Release just came off my body. I was just freed driving north on 95 coming out of Boca. And it was just absolutely amazing.
And it's so real.
It's so real. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from smoking. I smoked for 40 years, 50 years. I don't even remember. My son, I was going to still continue to smoke. My son was born. And my wife wasn't even going to tell me to quit smoking. I wasn't going to, you know, you can't tell me to quit smoking. Nobody... God took the desire away completely. Amen. Just took it away.
Was that the first time that you felt freedom?
The smoking?
No, I'm talking about when the chains fell.
When the chains fell. I'm going to tell you, I didn't understand what was going on because in my testimony, I cursed God. I was afraid. I was afraid. And the Lord one time told me, he goes, you only think that I have the gavel out.
Right.
He goes, you only think that I have the gavel out, and he doesn't have the gavel out. And this is after and I did this intoxicated. I mean, on a Friday night, I was just completely intoxicated. I don't even know how I got home that night. The rain woke me up because my head was out the passenger side door, and I was upside down. and the rain came on my face, and that's how bad I was. I mean, you know, and I tried to talk to my brother, and this is really what hurts. I tried talking to my brother, who's 2 years older than I am. I just turned 71 in February, and he was going to be, he was 72 last year. He would have been 73 March 10th. But he was drinking vodka, and it's just, it was destroying his marriage and doing all the things that addiction does to families, to people. He wasn't speaking to, you know, he was married for the second time. So that family was getting broken up. He wasn't, nobody in that family wanted to talk to him. Nobody wanted to talk to his wife. It was just a mess. And I said, Kevin, Jesus delivered me from alcohol, and he'll do it for you. All Amen. You have to do is ask him. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is ask. And people just don't want to ask. And what does Scripture say? You do not have because you do not ask.
That's right.
You have to ask. And do you know that just yesterday, I was speaking to somebody, and all they said was, I'm just thanking the Lord when I go to church. I'm saying, well, you need stuff because this person is very destitute. They have a place to live, but they don't have any money. They don't have a job. And it's just, it's a hardship. I said, you need to ask the Lord for help. This is what you need to do. And people don't get that.
And that's what he does.
That's what he does.
He's really good at it.
He's here to help. He's here to help you. And people have to understand that. And you can't. There's nothing that God already doesn't know about you Right. So if you think that you're hiding something from him, that's the craziest thought in the world.
Even happens, like when I went back out at 9 years, I didn't ask for help.
Right.
I wasn't.
And you knew better.
I knew better.
You know
and
what?
That's the people don't realize that even though you're saved and you've got all this Bible knowledge and you got the Spirit of God in you, the biggest mistake was, I'm sorry, I never went to my people, my tribe, and said, you know what? Her death really changed my life. Mm-hmm. It hurt. And I couldn't, come from, you don't say those words.
We need to give people an opportunity who right now are hearing this message and are being convicted of God.
Exactly.
That hope and life is a choice you can make right now.
And that's where our stories are so important. And that's when, like, when we're out trying to talk with people, it's not about bashing you or making you feel bad. I have people that are up high in the church that'll come at you and hit you with 92 different scriptures. I can't feed somebody that. It's going to stop them from hearing that he loves you.
He loves you.
But you
can tell him, I once was blind, but now I see, and they can get that story. Right. I know what you're dealing with.
It talks about it in the Word about feeding milk.
Yeah.
You didn't feed me beef before I was ready for beef.
Yeah.
But if you need help, ask.
Keith, call us. Call those who are ready to just stop. You may be driving your car right now.
Amen.
I mean, we get phone calls like this. People call us and tell us, you know, I was headed out. I was going to take my life. I was on the way. I was heading over the causeway. And, you know, I heard something on the radio and I pulled over, you know. I'll never forget that night that I had a busload of kids. We were at a concert in Orlando. And the bus that had ran perfectly up there started it in the parking lot. And when I got to the road ready to pull onto the road, all of a sudden it's overheated. It's boiling out. Pulled to the side of the road, had a car at a campsite, and had no way to get where I needed to go except hitchhiking. So I stepped out to the road. I had other adults staying with the kids, stuck my thumb up, and a car instantly picked me up. Yeah. And the guy looked at me and said, "Who are you and where are you going?"
Mm.
And I told him, "I'm Jonathan. I'm a pastor. My kids are in this bus. I've got to get to a campsite." He said, "Well, let me tell you who I am." He gave me his name, and he said, "See right here, this is my pistol. I already reserved a room. I was going to take my life. I didn't want to do it in my home."
Wow.
But he said, "As I came over that back hill," I said, "if there's a God, put somebody in the road to stop me right now."
Amen.
And he said, "I saw you." And that man accepted the Lord.
Wow.
Somebody is listening.
Wow.
God does this
right
all
now.
The time.
Tell me
all the time. Right. You know, the chains are dry. God, all the time.
And you know, this is just four different stories of deliverance.
Right. Exactly.
God,
you pulled over.
God, yes.
You asked your daddy for help.
God is big enough to deliver all these stories.
That's right.
And then we tend to put God in a box.
That's right.
We need to stop doing that.
You're right.
Because he is so much bigger than we could ever imagine, and he can deliver.
Everyone. He wants to.
I always had the impression, or my conscious thought was that God is up in heaven, and that, you know, I'll see him when I die. And man, was I wrong. You know?
Well, now I need to see him now.
Right. And I will see. You know, I will see him face to face when I die. I know that.
Yeah.
So, but it reminds me, Jonathan, of just a couple of months ago. Because we do the program on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, which is normally this time, and we do the program of Biblical Response.
Right.
And I was driving home, and I come off of exit 101 out of here going south on 95 on the interstate. And I just from 101, I think it goes to 98, what something. But as soon as I got on the entrance to 95, there was a guy with a trailer pulled over who had a flat tire. And what did I hear the Lord say? Go and help him. Now, I heard that voice. I was in the middle lane as I'm doing 90 miles an hour, and I'm passing him, and I'm like, there's no 1 mile exit. It's 5 miles. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's 5 miles away. Exit 96 is the next exit.
Yes,
I'm like, am I going, Lord? Mm. I got off 96. I go and I turn around. Now I got to go 5 miles because in between that gap. So there's 5 miles going back. So now I'm going 10 miles. I'm going 10 miles. The Lord told me to help this guy. And I get to the light where you're going to make, you know, where you're going the on ramp to get off 95 heading north again. Now I got to make a left turn to come make the U-turn, go back down to 95, right? So I'm at the light and I'm thinking, this is crazy. And I'm like, man, I wonder if he's still going to be there. And if the Lord didn't say, didn't I tell you to go there and help him? Mm-hmm. He's not going to be gone. Didn't I? So I go, and sure enough, there he is. There he is. Mm-hmm. I pull up behind him, and he's got this trailer. And it's beat up. His truck is beat up. He collects stuff, and it's all open, and he's trying to jack up his car. And I'm like, I'm still unsettled, quite honestly. I'm still unsettled. And he goes, I said, you need some help? And he's trying to jack up, and it won't work. And he goes, can I use your jack? And I'm like, oh, man, really? So.
But it's never been used.
What are you doing to me, God?
So I've got an Infiniti now. I got to press the mat up, and it's a small jack. It's, you know, foreign, and you just got to, you know, click, 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 click. You know, it's not like bam, bam, bam. You know, it's click, click, click.
Not
click,
a
click.
Rambo jack.
No, right. It's not a Rambo jack. So, I go into the trunk, and I'm trying to move, and I've got my street signs out. Jesus is God. Jesus loves you. I've got all my street signs in the trunk. What happens? This guy walks back to the car, and I'm like, oh, man, I hope I'm okay. And this guy walks to the back, and he says, oh, you know the Lord? I said, yeah. He goes, man, I know the Lord.
Wow.
He goes, I know the Lord. So all of a sudden, the conversation changed. Mm. All of a sudden, the conversation changed. Well, I've got to tell you, he must have been going through something, because he said, when he has flat tire and people would just pass and pass, he goes, Jesus, I need help. I need help. Jesus, I need help. You need to help me. Because he was going to Miami. And we're in Palm City. That's wow. Over an hour away, right? He's on a schedule. He's like, Jesus, I need help. So the Lord sends me to go and help him. And he tells me, he goes, you have no idea what you did for me. He goes, you have no idea what you did. So I don't know if that was a message of faith that where the Lord was helping him strengthen his faith by what happened on the road.
We need to pray with somebody who needs help right now, and just to know it's not accidental that we ended up like this, and even God roped Charles and drug him in here. He had no clue what he was coming into, but Keith, you know, Keith, lead us.
Go ahead.
Lead us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. for anybody that is listening, Lord, if they're feeling guilt, Lord, to lift it and deliver that from them,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
And
yes.
By the blood of your yes. Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who died for mm. us, for each and every one of us, Father God. Amen. And your word says, Lord, that your God so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever mm. believes in him shall not perish, but mm. have everlasting life, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who delivers us from our sin, Lord, and where we are mm. able to walk mm. in the freedom that Amen. You have given us, Lord, where you Amen. Tell us, your word says, Father God, your word says that you come to give life and you come to give it yes. abundantly, yes. Lord. Mm. May those that need to hear it now, Father God. May they have courage, Lord. May they have the courage mm. to come to you, to understand your everlasting love, your faithfulness, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. You will deliver them. You Thank will help you. Them. You will strengthen them, Father God, where you say, fear not, for I Amen. Am God. I will help you and strengthen you. Father God, we just thank you, dear Lord, for your Son Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
And may the ears be opened, Lord. May the hearts be touched, Lord. May the scales fall off the eyes, Father God, of the people that are listening and that need to hear and that are looking for your love and your everlasting mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. So we're still hoping for that $90,000 in 7 minutes. 221-1100.
Amen.
And we got poor Jimmy's been very quiet over here, boss.
Jim has been quiet.
Pastor, what's going on with this?
I don't know.
The cat's got his tongue?
The door's open.
Well, we've been talking a lot.
Hey, come on in here, Kim.
Well, you're joining the party.
Do you all know this guy?
This is Dad. What's up, Dad?
Dad up radio.
Keith Masters.
You'd want to wear your pocket card.
Hang on. Here, Greg. Here, talk to this mic.
No, I said, Keith, where did you park your car?
Oh, no. Uh-oh. I'm a New Yorker. I'm not a Boston.
Oh.
Not a car.
Well, I had my boys were out in the front yard one day where I live, and this lady comes by, and she drives up in a BMW or something. She says, little boys. Yes, ma'am. Where's the park? Over there.
The
and
park.
The boys were going, ma'am, is there a park over there? And he said, ma'am, I don't understand you. I went out and I said, she wants to know if there's a park over there.
Right.
So, you know, that, but anyway, man, I just want to come out. I hear you guys all the time. I just want to put a face to you, and I'm sure y'all want to put a face to me,
that's
too.
That's awesome.
Of course, the face, like, you want to be like this. We'll cover that face. But interesting, you guys. You're all interesting.
We're trying.
So, I love listening to y'all. Yeah, we had a good day yesterday, too.
We did.
Somebody finally gave the 40 cents. Let me look over it. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah. I almost text in like 12 times. Give them the 40 cents.
I was going to get out of my pocket, but I have a wife, you know, and I didn't have a pocket.
Ooh. Oh, my. I have to go home now.
Been married 53 years.
All right.
Still working.
She cut you a little slack, huh?
Pardon me?
She cut you a little slack.
No, I cut her a lot of slack. Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what's your key to be married 53 years? I said, first of all, God, of course.
Amen.
But then it's, yes, dear.
Yes,
I was wrong, dear.
Yes.
You were right, dear. 53 years I've been doing that. It's worked.
We teach that in marriage counseling. You want a successful marriage?
That's a hard thing to teach.
Yes, dear.
That's a hard thing to teach. Because
And smile.
Yeah, most women today don't want to hear that, do they?
No.
So anyway, man, it's great seeing all you guys. I didn't mean to barge in.
You grab a chair and hang out.
I'm actually going to Pastor Dave's house.
Well,
and I want to pitch, because I do have to go. We're going to be advertising not only Families Recover on the radio station, but Jonathan's going to do a spot for John Nelson Services. We've been here 24 years. I'm trying to shift over to full-time ministry. And my 20-year-old son, who's just doing a bang-up job, is going to be leading John Nelson Services, repairs and renovations. And
yeah, that's funny.
Why would I advertise here?
Yeah.
Seven counties.
That's funny because I thought of Keith.
12 counties.
12 counties.
Well, I really thought Keith would be a little short, ball-headed guy.
And Sherry.
But he's not. Doesn't look like.
Yesterday, you guys were talking about out of the millions of people that we could hit, that we probably, I think Dave came up with a number, at any one time, we could have 300,000 to 700,000 people listening. So why wouldn't I want to advertise my business on this radio station?
Yeah.
And a lot of people in this town know me in business. Yep. And I pitch it all the time. You want to spend good money? This is where you do it. We're Amen. Slow right now. The restaurants taught us when you're slow, you advertise more.
Mm.
And a lot like God. And I'm going to really shut up. I've been struggling.
When I was slow,
I've been really struggling. And just personal stuff. You know, I had some heart procedures, some things didn't go right, and it really messed me up. And last Friday, you guys were 300 short, and God put it on my heart to pay it. And I'm like, I know one thing. You can't outgive God.
Yes.
So if you're if you're holding that money right now because you don't think that you can make it, that's a lie. Yeah. God is never outdone.
You're the one that I heard had a heart issue?
Yes.
I did too.
Yeah.
Had a heart attack at 56 years old.
Yeah, but here I am. Open I'm on heart surgery, transplant.
Open heart surgery 11 years ago.
Wow.
You don't look like you're more than 50 years old. And I'll be real honest with you. I'm sitting here.
Come on, Kim.
What you're saying.
Like my cardiologist said, he said, Kim, you look good on the outside, but inside is ugly. So he said, you still got ugly arteries and ugly veins. So
yeah, well.
Hereditary.
No, I'm leaving to go to Dave's house, for real. It's a pleasure.
No, when you talk about not being able to outgive, beat God's giving, I can remember I've been married now almost 19 years to my wonderful wife, and
I'm 53. And
in 19. In the beginning, money was very tight.
Yeah,
it like most marriages, and we weren't giving our tithes, and it was things were tough. And I remember being in Bible study. And there was a bishop in our church. He's gone home with the Lord now, Bishop George Smith. We weren't talking about tithing. But out of the blue, he said, you know, by not giving your tithes, you can inhibit God's blessing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I'm like, where did that come from? So I went home that night and I told my wife, I said, we need to start tithing again. At that time, we were 3 years post losing our home.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to buy another home. And there were three different times where we were close, getting ready to go to closing, and something happened. One time it was 2 weeks. We were waiting for the company to call us with a closing date. And they called and said, at the time, you had to be 2 years past repossession.
Okay.
That's what it was. And then they changed the stipulation. It had to be 3 years. Well, we were 2 years and 9 months. And I'm like, can't we be grandfathered in? No.
Wow.
So I went home and I told my wife. And we're very intentional. When we're praying for something, we write down what it is because God wants you to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote down everything we wanted in a church. That was December. In our church in January, we have prayer and fasting. So we went through the period of prayer and fasting. We took our list. We anointed it with oil. We prayed over it, stuck it under our pillow. Sunday night, the next day, the realtor called us.
Wow.
And said, I have a house for you. It's over what you're approved for, but let me work on the sellers. I can bring them down to what you're approved for. And 30 days later, we closed on that house.
Wow.
Amen.
So,
amen.
You trust in God.
Yes, we were telling God that, in a sense, without saying it, we don't trust you with our money because we weren't giving.
Yeah, when you keep that hand closed, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
I just open it up.
Yes.
It's all his anyway.
And anybody that.
A thousand hills belong to the Lord.
Anybody that has an issue with giving, and there are a lot of people that have issues giving to a church. There are so many stories of when you give, even though God does not need our money, it's all about obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're obedient, God will open the floodgates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always about monetary, but just in that instance, we desired to have a home. We got a home 2 months after we started tithing.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps. Yeah. I'm just,
and you didn't start tithing to get a home.
No.
You started tithing because God touched your heart.
Yes.
And you knew that was
yes.
that was a means by which.